Today we're going to be talking about remembering the cost, because it's not free. We need to remember this because all the men and the women that died in our military, over a million people in the history of our country, that was somebody's son and daughter. That was somebody's husband or wife, somebody's mother and dad. It didn't come cheap. It may seem like nothing to us except statistics, but all those statistics represent a family that lost somebody. The song we sang about those that were prisoners of war. Folks, I can't imagine a much more dismal situation than you're being held by the enemy. And many people spent years in prisons because of their service for our nation. And so we want to remember them. So we'll go to prayer and we'll get started here. Father, as we honor the men and women that served in the military of our nation, Lord, all the different services, Father, help us to show from our hearts the honor we give to them. Father, bless our time together. Help it to be spent giving you glory for those that faithfully served, so that we might raise our children and our grandchildren in a country where they have true freedom. And Father, we'll give you the praise. In Jesus' name, amen. We're going to start off reading Psalm 33, and so I'll ask you to stand. We'll just have a brief reading here. If you can't stand, don't worry about it. Sing joyfully to the Lord, you righteous. It is fitting for the upright to praise him. Praise the Lord with the harp. Make music to him on the 10-string lyre. Sing to him a new song. Play skillfully and shout for joy. For the word of the Lord is right and true. He is faithful in all that he does. The Lord loves righteousness and justice. The earth is full of his unfailing love. By the word of the Lord, the heavens were made, their starry host by the breath of his mouth. He gathers the waters of the seas into jars, and he puts the deep into storehouses. Let the earth fear the Lord. Let all the people of the world revere him. For he spoke, and it came to be. He commanded, and it stood firm. The Lord foils the plans of the nations. He thwarts the purposes of the people. But the plans of the Lord stand firm forever, the purposes of his heart through all generations. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, the people he chose for his inheritance. From the heaven, the Lord looks down and sees all mankind. From his dwelling place, he watches all who live on the earth. He who forms the hearts of all, who considers everything they do. No king is saved by the size of his army. No warrior escapes by his great strength. A horse is a vain hope for deliverance. Despite all its great strength, it cannot save. But the eyes of the Lord are on those who fear him, and those whose hope is in his unfailing love, to deliver them from death and keep them alive in famine. We wait in hope for the Lord. He is our help and our shield. In him our hearts rejoice, for we trust in his holy name. May the unfailing love of the Lord be with us, even as we put our hope in you. Father, bless us now. Help us to rejoice in your goodness. We'll give you the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Today we're going to be talking about remembering the cost, as I mentioned earlier. I believe among almost every true born-again son and daughter of God in this nation, there is a joy that we're in this nation. There is a joy that the Lord is glorified still in this nation. I know we've gone through some terrible times in the last few years, but things for Christians are looking a little brighter. I hope you're catching it. I just heard yesterday President Trump say that in the military, we're doing away with all the garbage, the secondary things, and we're going to again do the first thing, protecting the freedom of our nation. I was at a funeral, this would be about 2 years ago, one of my clients passed, and I was there, and he was a military man, and they had a military honor for him. And I walked up after the service to some of the men that were on the military honor guard, and I got talking with them. One was the sergeant. He had about three stripes this way and two or three on the bottom. And I said, "How many years have you served?" And he said, "I've served 18 years. I said, "Man, just two to go." He says, "I'm not going to make it." And I said, "Why not?" He says, "I cannot stand what they're doing in the military. Folks, woke has become more important than being a good soldier. And I praise God that right now that's changing. Our military has more people enlisting right now and re-enlisting than we've had in years. Why? Because again, we're beginning to honor our soldiers. In our nation, we're beginning to honor our policemen and our firemen and the cost that they pay to protect us. Folks, it's so important that we honor those that allow us to stay free. We can't take them for granted. I don't know, some of you aren't old enough to remember, but I certainly am. When the soldiers returned from the Vietnam War, what kind of treatment did they get? It was awful. Why? Because we didn't honor them. Folks, it wasn't their choice to go over there. They went to serve the nation. And we ought to honor them, all the different men and women through the time that paid the ultimate price. And those that didn't have to pay the ultimate price, we ought to be glad for them too. In Psalm 33, verse 12, it says, "Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, the people he chose for his inheritance." Now, I know there's two different ways to look at that verse. The first one is, blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. We would say, for most of our history, that's been us. And we praise the Lord for it. But when you read the bottom of that verse, it says, the people whom he has chosen for his own inheritance. That's the nation of Israel. God chose the nation of Israel. But do you know that our nation's the only nation that chose the Lord? It's an amazing thing. This country was founded on biblical principles. And we honored Jesus Christ. It says in Psalm 9, verse 17, "The wicked go down to the realms of the dead, all the nations that forget God." Folks, we were a nation heading that direction just until our last election. We were forgetting about God as a nation. We were forgetting God's purpose for this nation in the first place. We chose God because God chose us as well. I mean, again, not the covenant that he made with Israel. But God set this nation up for a purpose. And that purpose was to spread the gospel, whether you know it or not. I know history books have changed now. Kids are not learning many of the foundational truths of our nation in public schools anymore. But our nation truly was founded on godly principles and on the Word of God. And we have a great deal to celebrate. Memorial Day is a day when we celebrate all those who served in our armed services, especially those who paid the ultimate price. Folks, many of us have loved ones. Now, we had, I think, about four or five men stand as we honored those that have served. But when you stop and look at the bigger picture, how many of you have relatives and friends that served in the military? I would dare say every hand is going to go up because everybody here has somebody, a cousin, an uncle, an aunt, somebody that served. We are a serving nation. Memorial Day is a wonderful time for us to just take a day aside to pay respect to those. I can't encourage you enough. If you live in a little town or even Saginaw or Flint, whatever, and you get a chance, take just an hour of your time, go to the military parade in your town. Honor those men and women, because when I go to St. Charles, there are women that come out and sit in the chairs with us men. There are women that served in the Marines and the Air Force and the Navy, and they're just as much to be honored as the men that served, because in Vietnam War, a lot of nurses went over and didn't come back, and so we owe them an honor. America is a unique place today. Do you know you can order a pizza and have it delivered to your house quicker in America than you can get an ambulance to your house? That's kind of a strange thing, isn't it? But that's the truth. You try it any time, that pizza will be there and it'll be hot. You might wait an hour for an ambulance to get there, but it's an amazing thing. Only in America are there handicapped places at a ice skating rink. Stop and think just from an ice skating rink. That means you got to get out and skate. But somebody might be taking you in there that can't get out and skate. And in America, we have honor for those people. Only in America, we have labels on baby strollers reminding the parents to take the baby out of the stroller before they fold it up. That is the truth. We have that in America. Why? Because everybody's Sue crazy. It's amazing what goes on. Only in America do drugstores like Myers and Walmart and all the rest have cigarettes at the front of the store, and you have to go all the way to the back of the store to get your medicine. That's a strange thing, isn't it? But that's the way it is here in America. Only in America do we put our new cars out in the driveway and our junk in our garages. Strange how we live. And only in America can you buy hot dogs in a 10-pack and the hot dog buns in an 8-pack. What a crazy thing. But no matter where you go, that's what goes on in America. America is not perfect, but I love this country. When my children were little, I could raise them the way I thought best. When my children began to grow, I could observe what they were good at and maybe not quite so good at. And I could say, Shane or Joel or Amy or Heather, this is what I see in you. You need to watch this and grow in this because you get to choose what you want to do. Do you know many countries, boys and girls don't get a choice? If they see you're bright, they'll send you to college. If they see you're average, you're going to wind up in a shop someplace. Folks, here we have a choice. We can be whatever God made us to be. America has a spiritual heritage. And I want to talk about that just for a minute. Because, again, in our public schools, now, I think that's going to change too now. But for many years, history has been rewritten. The truths about how our nation was founded are not being taught in our high schools and our colleges anymore. Psalm 33:12 says, "Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, and the people whom he hath chosen for his own inheritance." We need to remember the people who made America great. And I know Donald Trump, that's his big thing, make America great. But there have been generations before Donald Trump that made America great. And it's because they loved the Lord and they wanted this to be a Christian nation. I know you don't hear that much anymore, but this has been a Christian nation most of the time of our history. America was discovered by people who wanted to spread the gospel. Christopher Columbus, I know they're not celebrating his remembrance anymore, but do you know Christopher Columbus' name means Christ bearer? He really wanted to bring the gospel. Now, he had other ideas too, but if you read his memoirs, he really wanted to bring the gospel to this nation. Remember the Apostle Paul said, "I want to take the gospel where Christ has never been preached." When Christopher Columbus came to America, the gospel had never been preached here. It opened up a brand new avenue. In the Mayflower Compact of 1620, those brave souls that came here put it down in writing that it was for the advancement of the Christian faith that they were coming to America. The first public buildings ever built in the United States of America were churches. Churches built for the community to come in and worship God. In 1643, the New England Confederation was signed, and they wrote a constitution that began with these words: "Whereas we all came into these parts with one and the same end, namely to advance the kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and to enjoy the liberties of the gospel in pursuit of peace." Folks, that's why they came. I know it's not being taught, but that's the truth. Our founding fathers, George Washington and John Quincy Adams, had something to say about God and America too. George Washington, our first president, said, did we bring the Bible to these shores, or did the Bible bring us? The breath of the ancient prophets filled the sails of the tiny ships, bringing pioneers to the new world. From these beginnings until now, the Bible has been a teacher to the best men, a rebuker to the worst men, and a noble companion to us all. In like manner, John Quincy Adams, our sixth president, said, the highest glory of the American Revolution was this. It connected in one indissoluble bond the principles of civil government with the principles of Christianity. Folks, that's what this nation was founded on. Daniel Webster later said, more than all our government and our country, we were founded the very first by faith on the divine light of the Christian religion. Anyone who would wish that this country's existence had otherwise begun is deceived. Let us not forget the spiritual character of our origin. The idea of separation and state was never part of our Constitution. That was added by men who did not love the Lord. In the early 1600s, England opened her prison doors, as much like what happened under the Biden administration, where all these countries sent their prisoners, their insane people, to our country. Same thing happened in the 1600s. By 1730, only 10% of the people in the colonies went to church. Why? Because they were falling away from their faith already. Folks, 1734, and Jonathan Edwards, a preacher, came to the United States, John Wesley and George Whitefield. They began to preach, and the Holy Spirit blessed their ministry, and the great revival broke out, and our country changed. It was out of that great revival of the 1730s, 40s, and 50s that the Revolution came. It was out of that, I don't know if you know it or not, but the Minutemen were church members that fired the first shot of the Revolutionary War. It was the church strongly united around the fact of freedom that brought our country into existence. Benjamin Franklin built an auditorium that would seat 30,000 people in Philadelphia for Jonathan Edwards to be able to come and preach because he was affecting lives. Philadelphia at that time only had 25,000 people in it, but he built the auditorium for 30,000 because he's seen the wonderful results of what was going on. Folks, we need another revival. We need to have our country come back together with the idea that this is a Christian nation. It's the only thing that's going to keep us free. We need to be those that are heroic just like our ancestors were, because this is our time. This is our generation. We get to affect what's going on. Part of the problem of the last 15, 20 years is that the church has been mainly silent. And the minorities are very vocal with what they believe. Do you know in America, less than 8% claim to have anything about them that's homosexual? And yet the homosexuals have one of the most important voices in America today. Do you know why? Because those of us that are Christians are not vocal. We're not saying that's wrong. And I'm not just talking about homosexuality. I'm talking about all kinds of things that are going on. It's time for the church to stand up and say, not on our watch. We're not going to let this country go the way it's been going. And I praise the Lord, we have stood up. In the last election, the voice was heard. Our Lord Jesus Christ, when he would begin his ministry, this is one of the first things that he said, beginning his ministry, right after his baptism, in Luke chapter 4, verse 18, Jesus said, the Spirit of the Lord is on me because he's anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to set the oppressed free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. Folks, that's out of the Old Testament. Jesus Christ came for that ministry, and Jesus Christ has called you and I to enter into that ministry, setting the prisoners free. You have a voice in this thing. When your children start to go the wrong way, dads and moms stand up and say, no, not in this family. This is the way we do it as Christians. And Sally and Billy, this is the way you're going to live. So many of us, oh, I wouldn't want to take my children to church or Sunday school because I want to make up their own mind. But you'll let them go to all kinds of crazy stuff, even the cartoons that are shown in the theaters now. They're crazy with all kinds of stuff that children should never see. And parents will take them to see that, but won't bring them to Sunday school. It makes absolutely no sense. But that's where we have been. America has had heroes over the generations that have called this nation back to godliness. Three times we've had great revivals in our nation. But do you know it's almost 100 years since we've had a great revival? It's time for us to pray. It's time for those of us that are in God's army, navy, whatever you want to call it, to get on our knees and pray for America. Because America can truly be a wonderful country. Our country has sent out 600,000 missionaries since our founding. Do you know that's more than any other nation ever has sent out? Do you know the Lord wants more? Missionaries here and missionaries abroad. Because God has an army too. You should be a missionary. You as an individual should be telling others about your faith in Christ. We are salt and light. Salt does what? If you put salt on a wound, man, that baby stings. And the same thing should be true of your life. When you're in the presence of those that you know are doing wrong, that are hurting themselves and hurting others, we ought to stand up. We ought to say, no, we're not going to allow you to treat people like that. Boys and girls need boys and girls that are a little bit older to stand up for them. To say, no, you're not going to treat people the way you're treating them. It starts young, but it keeps going. In Proverbs 14, verse 34, it says, righteousness exalts a nation, but sin condemns any people. What's sinful about our nation's history? Because there are some sinful things that started when I was a young man. In 1963, the United States Supreme Court made a ruling that you could not pray in the public schools anymore. I want to tell you the prayer that they took to court to say that we don't want our children saying this anymore. It said, to the Almighty God, we acknowledge our dependence on Thee. We ask Thy blessings upon our parents, our teachers, and our country. Amen. And the Supreme Court said, you can't do that. You can't pray in the public school. Folks, what a crazy thing to do. 62 years later. We're 62 years later from that. What's happened in our public schools? When I was a young boy, you go to school, you might have a little fear of getting a fight with a bully. Today, kids are going to school afraid for their lives, literally. And teachers, too. They're afraid one of these kids or some crazy guy is going to come in and shoot this place up. Folks, that's what happens. In 1844, somebody sued. Again, it went to the Supreme Court. They said, we don't want Bibles in the public schools. This is what the Supreme Court of 1844 said. Why should not the Bible be read and taught as the divine revelation in the school? Where can the purest principles of morality be learned so clearly and perfectly as from the New Testament? Folks, the Supreme Court's up and down and all around on these things, and so is everybody else. But what the Lord wants us to know is when we decide that as a person, as an individual that knows the Lord as our Savior, we are going to stand on the Word of God, your life is going to make a difference. No, you can't control everything, but your vote does make a difference. When you get a chance, you're old enough, you get a chance to vote. Folks, take the time. When those young soldiers march down that street tomorrow in St. Charles or wherever you are, just your being there, just taking the time to honor them is going to make a world of difference. Because a young boy or girl that's standing next to you down the line a little way is going to say, wow, look at the honor these people are. I think I want to be in the military too. Folks, we need a military. We need people to be missionaries. We need all kinds of things. The Ten Commandments were removed from all of our courts. What does that do? The only court I know right now that still has the Ten Commandments is the Supreme Court, which is strange, but they still have it. But when you take the Lord out of the courts become corrupt. Why? Because only a just man or woman can make a just decision. And when you take the Lord out of those things, you're ruining it. In Psalm 11, verse 3, it says, when the foundations are being destroyed, what can the righteous do? You can stand up and you can say, no, not on our watch. This is our time. I was born in 1947. I believe before 2047, I'm going to be gone. Then it's going to be your turn or somebody else's turn. But I don't want this nation to go down the tubes while I'm here. I want to vote. I want to fight. I want to do whatever I can do to keep our nation godly. Do you know a survey of young people, 17 and 18 years of old, showed that 90% do not believe there's anything that's absolutely truly wrong and anything that's absolutely truly right? Do you know where that comes from? They don't have a foundation. We have a foundation of the Word of God. I believe certain sins, certain things are sin and they're wrong 100% of the time. Is it ever right to lie? I don't think so. But young people today are being taught there's no such thing as right and wrong. In Judges 17, verse 6, this is the time we're living in. Hopefully we're starting to come out of it, I hope. In those days, Israel had no king. Everyone did as they saw fit. That really is where our nation is today. But we're starting to make some progress coming out, and I pray that it lasts. But in Proverbs 16:25, it says there's a way that appears to be right, but in the end it leads to death. Not only death of a person, but death of a nation. The Lord honors those nations that honor Him. Every nation that's ever dishonored God has been destroyed in history, including the nation of Israel, the nation He chose. When they rejected the Lord rejected them. Now He's going to go back and deal with them again, but not right now. I want to read you one thing more before I go on here. This happened a few years ago. Here's a quote from the Federal Department of Health and Human Services. The report was the Secretary's Task Force on Youth Suicide. Here's what it said. Parents should know that homosexuality is a natural and healthy form of sexual expression. Religion presents a risk factor for you because the depiction of homosexuality is a sin, and the reliance of family on the church for understanding homosexuality. Many traditional, for example, Catholics, and fundamentalists, for example, Baptist faith, still portray homosexuality as morally wrong. Religion needs to reassess homosexuality in a positive context. They need to accept gay youth and make a place for them in church. Youth programs like Boys and Girl Scouts should incorporate homosexual youth into their activities. I want to tell you, the sad truth is, Boys and Girl Scouts have done exactly that. It's a terrible thing. You're going to go camping. The whole troop's going. And you got boys and girls all mixed together. Folks, that should never be. Boys are boys and girls are girls, and we got to keep it straight. In Romans chapter 1, verse 22, this is what has happened to our nation. But again, I've got great hope. I think we're on the move the right way. It says, although they claimed to be wise, they became fools and exchanged the glory of the immortal God for images made to look like mortal human beings and birds and animals and reptiles. Therefore, God gave them over to the sinful desires of their hearts to sexual impurity for the degrading of their bodies with one another. They exchanged the truth about God for a lie and worshiped and served the created things rather than the Creator, who was forever praised. Amen. Because of this, God gave them over to shameful lust. Even their women exchanged natural sexual relations for unnatural ones. In the same way, the men also abandoned natural relationships with women and were inflamed with lust for one another. Men committed shameful acts with other men and received in themselves the due penalty for their error. Furthermore, just as they did not think it worthwhile to retain the knowledge of God, so God gave them over to a depraved mind, so that they do what ought not to be done. They have become filled with every kind of wickedness, evil, greed, and depravity. They're full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, and malice. They are gossips, slanderers, God-haters, insolent, arrogant, and boastful. They invent ways of doing evil. They disobey their parents. They have no understanding, no fidelity, no love, no mercy. Although they know God's righteous decree that those who do such things deserve death, they not only continue to do these very things, but also approve of those who practice them. Folks, on our college campuses today, we have people supporting, up to the point of murdering people, the things that are being done that are evil in God's sight. It's time for us as Christians to stand up and say, no, you're not going to be able to do those things anymore. We've got a Democratic Party right now, and I'm not a Republican anymore, so when I say Democrat, Republican, I'm neither one. I became an independent after the Republicans won the election, saying that they were going to get rid of abortion, and then did nothing. Folks, that changed me. I'm without a party now. I'm a Christian that votes independent. So when I say the Democrats are cheering on these protesters on our college campuses who are against the Jewish nation and hate the Jewish people, I say that with shame. That ought not to be allowed. We treat everybody the same in America. I don't want to do anything mean to the Muslims. I don't. But I don't want people here that are killing and ruining things for those of us that want freedom. So what has to happen in our nation to bring it back? I mentioned before, I think we're on the right track right now. Hopefully we stay on that track. But in 2 Chronicles 7:14 is a wonderful promise of God. If my people, who are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven, I will forgive their sin, and I will heal their land. How long, let me ask you, how long has it been since you earnestly prayed for this nation? How long has it been since you stood up and said to your children or your grandchildren, no, we don't act like that here. We are a Christian people. God expects his children to live differently, and that starts in the home. One of the reasons we have so much trouble with youth today is because there's not a godly mother and a godly father in the home anymore. There are two people that are out for themselves, not God's glory, and there's nobody there to raise the kids. Folks, a quarter of our families today have no dad in the home at all. 25% of the children are growing up in a home without a dad. We have a promise here. If my people, hopefully that includes you, if you've received Christ, you are God's son or daughter. If you will pray, and we say, well, Lord, what percentage have to pray in order for that to happen? Because frankly, I've been praying for that for ever since I've been a Christian. I don't know what percent. God knows. When enough people seek God, seek this land to be restored to its greatness, and when I talk about greatness, I'm not talking about financial greatness. I'm talking about the greatness that lives according to God's plan. When we return to that, God's going to heal this land. There was a time, not too many years ago, when school boards, yes, public school boards, used to check with their local pastor before they set the calendar for the school year. Why did they do that? Because the old church, every year they had a week's revival. And the local school didn't want to interfere with revival week. Folks, those days are long gone. But they should come back. The church should have first place in our communities. Why? And I'm not talking about Baptist church, Methodist, Lutheran, Catholic. I don't care what the church is. But the church is the source. God says the local church is the pillar and the foundation of the truth. There is right and there is wrong. There is a holy way to live and there's a sinful way to live. And it's time for the church to come back to life and proclaim it. Our children, our grandchildren need some guidance. And they need it from godly parents and grandparents. They need it from a teacher in the public schools. Yes, the public schools can preach the Bible. They did it. And we need to get back to it. The Great Awakening, days like Jonathan Edwards, our nation needs it. This is a former Speaker of the House, Dennis Hastert. This was back years ago. He said, the marriage amendment to the Constitution, it's an amendment that will say that marriage must be between a man and a woman, as the Bible says, is dead because Congress is not hearing anything from people in favor of it. They're only hearing from the liberal crowd who is not in favor of it. And they are interpreting our silence, talking about the church, to mean that we don't care. We don't care if homosexuals marry one another and equate their marriages with the marriages of the Bible kind of marriage. We need to step up. I've heard good Christians, and I got to tell you, I really believe they're really born again, but they want to be accepted by the population saying, I don't care if you marry your boyfriend to a guy. Just don't tell me I have to. I do care. It's not biblical. We are a Christian nation. It's time for the church to stand up. It's time for us to write some letters. It's time for us to vote. It's time for us to care. Psalm 33, verse 12, one last time. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, the people he chose for his inheritance. If you want this nation to stay blessed, if you want to see your grandchildren grow up in the same kind of country you grew up in, we need to be those people. We need to be praying. We need to be voting. We need to be a voice. We need to express that we believe there is truth, absolute truth. And if we don't, one of those generations pretty quick is going to lose their freedom. And it'll be our fault. I, for one, don't want to stand and see that. I want to stand up now, not belligerently, not fighting with guns and stuff, hopefully not, but I want to stand up and say, I want to make a stand for this nation. I love this country. My children get all kinds of choices, and now their children get all kinds of choices, and now it's to a third generation for me. I've got great-grandkids, and guess what? They're able to make all kinds of choices. I want those to be godly choices. I want to encourage you, work with your kids and your grandkids. Tell them the truth, that there is right and there is wrong, there is sin and there is a holy way to live. Because it's going to be dampened right out if we don't stand up. You are part of God's military. We are part of the army of the Lord. We need to be faithful. We don't need to be the greatest. We just need to be faithful. And God will make you great in his time if it's your time, and he won't if it's not. Father, we can't thank you enough for being part of your military. Lord, we are warriors for God. Help us to be faithful during this lifetime you've given us that we might hand down to the next generation. And the next after that, a nation that loves the Lord, a nation that's free to choose. And Father, we're going to give you the praise today in Jesus' holy name. Amen.